You and I have a fairly large task to do this morning. It's not all fun and games and turkey dinner here. It's a serious look at Scripture to deepen your thoughts and your connections to God and to one another today. So we're going to look at four passages that I've listed there. You might want to stick your fingers in each. I'll give you a moment to find Job chapter 1, just one verse, and then Habakkuk chapter 3 at verse 17, and then Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 15, and then Colossians chapter 3 at verse 15. Maybe what we'll do is I'll give you a pause each time we've read something, and we can move to the next. So that's four scripture passages today to ask, what's your Thanksgiving perspective? So Job chapter 1, verse 20, you'll recognize these words if you've been around Christians for quite a time. At this, that is, at the news of the death and the loss of his family completely, the loss of all the ones he loved, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now turn with me to Habakkuk, the last chapter, chapter 3. We'll read the last three verses of the last chapter of this not so well-known prophet, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." And now we're going to move to the New Testament, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in the final passage for this morning's reflections, come from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." who wouldn't be thankful in our culture, our society? I mean, people are. I tend to see that. People are, anyone, logically, if you've been given a lot and you know you didn't always deserve it, you should be thankful. I mean, that kind of logic is in our culture. People are wishing each other happy Thanksgiving and never ever darken any religious place. That's the truth of it. Thanksgiving is often a mark of affluence, isn't it? People say thank you. We teach our kids to be thankful. You ought to. But that generalized Thanksgiving doesn't quite cut us. You didn't come to church this morning just because you have a sentimentality of thankfulness in your hearts. There's something deeper to you and me. I know it. Like, to whom do we give thanks? What is our attitude about thanksgiving? It's not nominal among people that I associate with. And for you, that's also true. I'm certain of it. What's in your head? What's in your heart about thankfulness? Have you noticed that in the Bible, when it speaks about asking us to be thankful, it isn't a request by, if you feel like it, or if you have the emotional capacity, or if you're in a good mood, or if things have come your way, be thankful. It doesn't say any of that. It's a command. It's in the imperative mood. It tells you, you've got to be thankful. You're ordered to be thankful. It's a complex topic, and now I've made it worse with you because we went to some pretty startling passages. How about the one from Job at the beginning? The Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Ever had that thrown at you when you're in a particularly bad situation? That can be abusive, not in the right context, I would say. So being thankful is difficult. By the way, the word blessing means to say a good word over things. So to say a good word over God or a good word over things is what blessing means. It's the same word that's used in thanksgiving. That's to say a good grace over things. Then that's a New Testament word. So Old Testament word is blessing. A New Testament word is thanksgiving. Same meanings, same way of saying good things over things or about things or to people or to God. The Job story is one of the most awful ones in the scriptures, as you know, in the writings of the ancient composers. It's the beginning chapter of a lot more chapters that touch on human suffering in its worst form, to lose all what you love, especially all the people you love. Habakkuk is a more unknown story for us, a prophet written about the same time as the book of Job, around 600 BC. And Habakkuk has the distinction with Job to be a unique book in that they speak soliloquy. That's a fancy word for they talk to themselves. Job talked to his friends too, but Job also spoke to himself, but in a sense, of course, to God. So the book of Job has a lot of Job responding, speaking to God. And the book of Habakkuk is unusual as a prophecy because it doesn't speak to the people of Israel. It's one man, an ancient prophet, who spoke to God. If you read that book, you'll see it. It's one man's journey and trying to make sense of suffering. In Job, it's the nature of suffering in general for himself and humanity, where Job goes to the, you know, he ends up, as it says, on the ash scrap heap, scratching his wounds, wondering about human suffering and the place of God. In Habakkuk, his question was, God, why are you using very evil, awful, sinful people to punish your people? He couldn't get over that. And so his deal with God is a big question of why do people suffer? And then, of course, it comes to the end of that, that, chapter 3, and he praises God, even if nothing good happens. If nothing good happens, he says, I will still praise God. It's self-talk, the soliloquy. And if you want an even more technical name, it's called theodicy, accounting for the existence of God in the face of human suffering. How do you account for the existence of God in the face of human suffering? This is a big, big question for all of us, isn't it? Like, it's good to be thankful. But what about the world and the shape it's in? Is thankfulness just about a personal sentimentality and, well, we're really blessed, so we're really well off, so we won't think about the rest of the world? Or is it deeper than that? And I know it's deeper than that. All of us are troubled by the suffering of others. The Job story doesn't answer the questions about life the way he might have wanted, as you know. That's a long story, and it ends with not knowing the answer, why people suffer and why God allows that. And Habakkuk, too, questions God, why God uses the evil in the world to do his good somehow. Those are hard things, aren't they? And not something you want to think about too long on a Thanksgiving, a beautiful Thanksgiving weekend like this. But we're forced to, because we're not unaware of the troubles in the world, troubles in your life. How about the things in your life that are not reasonable, not rational? How about the pain of death to people you love, and the losses and the health concerns and the difficult layers of our lives that are not easy, that are complicated because they involve the suffering of others that we can't help or fix or change? So even on Thanksgiving Day, when we're trying to be, as you see here, decoratively happy, the truth of life is there are many big mysteries. So we zero in, you and me, today on this, on these big questions. Job had all this incredible pain and sorrow and suffering, but he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Habakkuk says, as all this is hard, dark questions for God, he said, but if nothing good happens, I will rejoice in God my Savior. The Bible confesses far more than it understands. The Scriptures give us far more to confess than it does to help our understanding. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth, I say to you. But we are not just Hebrew Testament readers, not just Old Testament readers, we're New Testament readers. And you get this joyful stuff in the Gospels that will color and shade and change and transform the language of the Hebrew text. So you get from Paul, as you have seen in the book of Ephesians, all this wonderful inspiration to go and sing, make music, and to be joyful and thankful as command. But look, but why? Why? And the same with Colossians. Same writer, Paul, Colossians 3, to be thankful. So understand this. As far as we know, Paul was in prison when he wrote these two letters. He was in prison in Rome. He had been suffering a lot already. He had been shipwrecked and crushed and defeated and beaten. It seemed like a total failure in his life, and he was personally, truly suffering. So he's in jail, and he writes these two letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. And look what he writes. Rejoice, be glad, and be thankful. Where is that coming from in Paul? From the same sources as what the story of Job brought to Job and Habakkuk in his day? I would say so. The same God. But for Paul, he had met the risen Christ. So for Paul in Ephesians, the motivation is that you are God's holy people. This is in chapter 5. You are God's holy people. You are the light of God. You are God's dearly loved children. That's one of his great phrases in the book of Ephesians. You are God's dearly loved children. So be thankful. And Colossians has a different tone connected, of course, but in Colossians in chapter 3 begins, because you've been raised with Christ. You see that in verse 1. Colossians 3, raised with Christ. Paul emphasizes the holiness and how much loved you are in Ephesians, and he emphasizes how we are resurrected with Jesus, not just Jesus resurrected us long ago in its ancient history. You have been raised with Christ. And that's why they move towards asking us to be thankful in our lives. So the book of Job and our specific text, which is a harsh text in some instances, and Habakkuk, which seems unrealistic, get new contexts from the Gospels. What for us is hard to grasp, we now see played out in the Scriptures. And we're being asked today to be thankful, to confess more than we understand. And that, people of God, is a gorgeous blessing on Thanksgiving Day. If just think if you had to figure it all out and put it together. A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C, therefore now. It's crazier and more wonderful and richer and all of that. It is God loves us unconditionally in Christ Jesus forever. And so passages get reinterpreted, you see. So Job's passage is not just, oh man, this is arbitrary. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Have that said to you in the wrong way sometime? That's a crushing piece of work. But if you see the context and the meanings now, such a passage becomes like this, and Job learned it too. When God gave him that powerful answer about he is the God of creation, beyond our confession, beyond our understanding, this confession that God is God and we are not. Now it's like this. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord means this. Before you were born and after you die, you belong to God. That's what that passage means now. Not judgment and arbitrary deity, an aloof God who says harsh things, but a God who now says, before you were born, he said it in Ephesians, before the foundations of the earth were laid, you were loved in Christ Jesus and elected to be loved as his sons and daughters. Before you were born, and after you die a death on this earth, you are with God forever. That's what that means. And it is a fact that those who know Jesus Christ can withstand anything. Read sometimes the stories of those who have been in the death camps of the Nazis, or read sometimes what people have done for others, the martyrs, the suffering they went through because they loved Jesus. And so they could say with Habakkuk, if nothing good happens, if the crops fail, if my life is a total disaster, if I live in abject poverty, I will rejoice in God my Savior. And then what Paul does for us in the two passages that we read while he was in jail, rejoice and be glad. Always give thanks. Ephesians, give in everything. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks to God. And obviously, it does not mean thank God for all the troubles I've got or all the worries or the nonsense that's in my life. No, that doesn't mean that at all. It means in everything, God is the way Job's trying to describe it and Habakkuk's trying to describe it. In everything, God is. So in everything, you give good grace, a good word about God in your life. That's what Christians can offer to one another. To yourself, first of all, let that shape your life, your words, your thoughts, your actions. We give that to each other. That's why you're here in church this morning. That's why the music's strong again and we feel good about being here. But it's also what we give to the world. We give that to the world. Be thankful as a way of life, that's so deep and rich, so much in Christ, we confess more than we understand. That's the kind of God we give thanks to. That's the kind of God that lives in us, as Colossians says, the body of Christ. May you have a joyful Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the richness of these scriptures. They are not easy, but they are deep. But they are full of your love beyond our understanding, beyond our imagination. They hold us in Jesus Christ like never before. We are not just sentimental people who are politely thankful. We are people bought by Jesus Christ forever, and you live in us forever. And we may be thankful in everything and not see that as a ridiculous thing at all, but the opposite, a great way to live. Help us to that, we pray, on this Thanksgiving weekend, but always. We pray that others in our family lives may have it. We pray it for the world, O God, that Thanksgiving may be the truth, and not self-destructive and not selfish, but in Jesus Christ, a way to live forever in your joy. Amen.